Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you hear this message from Pastor Josh Thompson.
It's good to see you. Hey, how many dads we got? Can we give the dads some love? Come on. We love the dads. Love the dads. And I thought I ought to have at least a Father's Day joke or two to start the day. You know, these things don't always go well for me. But I thought I'd try. And so I got a couple little funnies for you. There's this small boy and his dad that went to the zoo together. They were looking at tigers, and his father was telling him how ferocious they were. And the little boy says, "Daddy, if the tigers got out and ate you up..." Dad says, "Yes, son," ready to console him. He says, "Which bus would I take home?" Now, see, this is the difference between girls and boys. Because my girls would be like, "Daddy, I don't want that to happen to you." You know, I imagine boys are just trying to figure out how they're going to get home. At least that's how I imagine it in my mind. Okay, so there's these four men in the hospital waiting room because their wives are having babies. And a nurse goes up to the first guy in the waiting room and says, "Congratulations, you're the father of twins." He goes, "That's odd," answers the man. "I work for the Minnesota Twins." A nurse says to the second guy, "Congratulations, you're the father of triplets." He goes, "That's weird," answers the second man. "I work for the 3M company." Nurse tells the third guy, "Congratulations, you're the father of quadruplets." "That's strange," he answers. "I work for the Four Seasons Hotel." All of a sudden, this last man that's in there, he just starts groaning. He just starts banging his head against the wall. And they say, "What's wrong?" The others ask him, you know, and he says, "I work for 7-Up. It's a good one, isn't it? It'd be a lot to take in. Woo, 7. 1's enough, right? 3, whoosh. Okay, so man, that was good. So today we're going to continue. Not telling jokes. We're going to continue with the series that I've titled "The Church That I See." And the heart of this message really isn't about the church that I see. It's actually, the heart of it is the church that he sees. And the church that he sees is the church that I want us to be. And that where our hearts are going. Last week we talked about the church being full of the Spirit. And we saw this New Testament church literally being birthed in prayer and being birthed in outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And in this one day, you know, we got this picture in chapter 2 of Acts, the day of Pentecost. There's 120 of them gathered in the upper room, and literally thousands come to Jesus and get baptized in one day. That gets my heart pumping. Does it get yours pumping? Makes me want to go out and buy some baptismal tanks so that we're ready for them. Or maybe we're going to have to just dig a big hole out there and make a lake, you know, to just dump them in. Can you imagine? I mean, it'd take a lot of... Yeah, you can give a shout for that. It'd take a lot of baptismal tanks to get thousands, you know, baptized in a day. But that's my heart. I believe that's where we're going. So I want to pick up where we left off in Acts chapter 2, but we're going to spend most of our time in chapter 3. So verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, this is this picture, this beautiful picture of this New Testament church that's emerged, and it says that this is what they were doing. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers, and awe came on every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. So beautiful, isn't it? We'll dig into that down the road here in this series. But today, I want us to jump to the next chapter, which is chapter 3. And we're going to go right into this story of this new thing that God has done through resurrection and outpouring of the Spirit. So here we go. Acts chapter 3. Are you ready? Good. Here we go. Verse 1. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms, to ask for money of those entering the temple. So just to get into this picture, here we have Peter and John, right? They're on their way to pray at a prayer meeting at the temple. And on their way, at the same time, there's this crippled man being carried by his friends, and they're going to set him down for the afternoon in front of the temple, near the temple there. We know that he's been lame from birth. We know that he's in his 40s, so kind of my age-ish. And he's lived his whole life unable to walk. And he's had to have his friends actually carry him wherever he's to go. So we know that he's a regular here at this spot. He's a regular at this gate. And that all the temple regulars would walk by him each day. And he would beg as he could. And then his friends would take him home afterwards. And then this would happen again the next day. This was his life. We don't know specifically how long he's doing it. We just know that he's familiar to this place because he was there regularly. We don't know if he was there begging for 20 years or 30 years or how long it was, but he's there and he's in need. It says verse 3. Keep going. It says, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asks to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him. Can we say that? Directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. Can we say, look at us? Look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. That's easy to just kind of pass over this, but when you really get into the story and you just imagine this moment, it really moves my heart. Peter and John didn't just pass him by. They didn't just throw some spare change at him and move on. They actually stopped. And not only did they stop, Peter and John together, Peter says, hey, look at me. He says, look at me. Look me in the eyes. And I bet most people looked away from this man as they walked by. And I'm sure that he was used to that. So when they stopped and said, look us in the eye, I bet he thought he was going to get a big gift. Or maybe he was just shocked that somebody stopped. We don't really know. Church, I just want to say this. It doesn't really matter what the condition is. It doesn't matter whether it's somebody that's lame from birth or somebody that's begging on the street or an executive in a corner office, there is a longing in humanity to be seen. Amen. There is a longing in all of us to be seen. We long for somebody to actually stop and look at us. In our fast-paced culture, in our nonstop scheduled lives, it's so easy to pass the one that's right in front of you, isn't it? But not Peter. Not John, not this day. They actually stopped, and they didn't only look at him, they told him to look at them. In other words, you're not going to look away in embarrassment, mister, because of your condition, and neither are we. And what I believe Peter is signaling in this moment is that what's about to happen is going to happen face to face. What's about to happen in this moment is going to be deep human contact along with a deep work of God. Church, I want to suggest to you that human touch and supernatural power go together. Human touch and supernatural power go together. This isn't just about super spiritual things sort of happening over here. This is about human connection and the power of God coming together and touching someone. So there they are, the three of them. And they're face to face. And this guy's asking for money. Verse 6, Peter says, I have no silver. I have no gold. But what I do have, I give to you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Somebody should shout something there, I think. And he took him by the right hand and he raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Isn't that like a little kid song? Yeah, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who had sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had just happened. This is so, so amazing, isn't it? In other words, Peter comes to this guy and he says, hey, what you think you need, I don't have. But what you really need, that's what I've got. I felt like a preacher there. I don't know. It's gospel preacher. I feel like that's in me somewhere. If I have that in my history or not. What you think you need, I don't have that. But what you really need, that's what I've got. That's what I'm carrying. I want to suggest to you today that interactions that we have with people in everyday life, you think and I think sometimes we're going to a place for one reason, but God actually says, no, you're going there because I got something else for you to do. Sometimes we think we're going to have a business transaction. Or we're going to just pick up a coffee at our favorite coffee place and we think we just need the caffeine and the Lord's like, no, 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 no. You're going there for something else and I'm going to release that through you. That's exactly what we're seeing here in this picture. Saying you'd be happy with the little change, but the change you're going to get is a total resurrection power, life change. Stand up and walk. And that's exactly what he did. And it's interesting to me, too, that he didn't pray for him. He didn't pray for him. He didn't actually even ask him if he wanted to be healed. Like, aren't there like the three steps that I have to go through? Do you know Jesus? I mean, gets the sin out of your life? Get all these things lined up right? No, he just grabs him with his right hand, pulls him up, yanks him up, and says, be healed in the name of Jesus. And instantly, his feet and his ankles are made strong, and he begins to dance. And he begins to praise God. And he begins to walk with them into the temple. And everybody saw it. And the people in the temple saw him leaping and praising God. How many of you know when you get set free, you leap? How many of you know when your legs and your feet have not worked for 40 years, you're going to be jumping? You're going to be praising. How many can imagine the, oh my goodness, what is that? Is that that guy? What? I mean, this is so powerful. That's why, I never want to shut people down from exuberant praise. Because you know why? We don't know what they've come through. We don't know where they've come from. We don't know what they've been healed from. We don't know what they've been set free from. I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's religious people that get all concerned about people getting a little too crazy. If people get too crazy, we'll kind of, I don't know, what we'll do. You can just know that I'm not going to let somebody come in here and just go crazy, take over the place, okay? Do you get what I'm saying? Don't ever worry. Somebody is down here worshiping and they go a little too crazy, it's okay. Calm down. For real. Because you don't know what they've been through. We have people that are in our church that have come in here that have just gotten set free from prostitution. We have people that have come in here that have just been set free from demonic activity. And when they get set free, I'm telling you, there's going to be some shouting. There's going to be some dancing. There's going to be some leaping. And we cannot get uptight about it. We got to be set free. And maybe we should do a little bit too.
I was free. That wasn't even in my notes.
So, gosh.
This man just got a new life. He just got a new life. This man had an encounter with the power of Jesus. And this is exactly what we talked about last week that Jesus said would happen. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. Peter and John released the power that had come upon them, and now they are being a witness. And this man is now testifying to Jesus. Do you see this? There was no track involved. It was literally the power of God manifested on a person, and all of a sudden he is a witness. The people who saw this man sitting there day after day have now witnessed the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. In the Message version, it says they were rubbing their eyes astonished. What? Right? Can you see? Can you imagine this? Like, what? Everybody say, what? What? The men are like, I'm not going to do it. What? Church, I want to be a part of releasing the power of God this way. They were filled with wonder and amazement. Church, the church I see is full of power. The church I see is full of power. And what's also interesting is that up to this point, all of the first two chapters, all the things that have gone on in Acts have taken place in Jerusalem, not in or around the temple. That at the end of Acts 2, the things we read at the beginning, you know, the teaching and the breaking bread and the fellowship and the prayers, all those things were happening in places besides the temple. But now we find the believers, you know, they're on their way to worship at the temple, but what we just saw happen, the power of God demonstrated, did not happen in the temple, it happened outside the gate. And I just want to suggest to you, it'd be easy to pass over that. But what I think we're seeing is that God is on the move and there's a shift from what they know. He's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. And he's not confined to institutions and buildings. Luke, the author, is telling us that the good news, the power of Jesus Christ, is breaking out to reach anyone and everyone who needs it. And it's as much for in the church as outside of the church. Come on, let's give the Lord a shout of praise for that. That's worth that. Yeah. So verse 11, keep going here. It says, while he clung to Peter and John. So this man is just clinging to him, I can imagine. It says, all the peepers. You can't plan that. All the people. Maybe they were peepers. I don't know. Utterly astounded. That's kind of weird. Can we just start over? Here we go. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or our own piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate. Remember, Pilate wanted to release him. The people said, no, release the murderer. When he decided to release him, but you denied the holy and righteous one, and you asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life. That's pretty bold. Whom God raised from the dead. To this, we are witnesses. And in his name, by faith in his name, he, Jesus, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And Peter drops the mic. In my mind, he did. He tells it like it is. He tells it like it is. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He is not being diplomatic. How many of you know there's a time to tell it like it is? There is. So they're surrounded by this crowd, and Peter's saying, it wasn't us who healed this man. It was Jesus who did this work. It wasn't us. It was Jesus. In other words, he's saying, we're not the story here.
He's saying, we're not the story. John and I are not the story here. And actually, this lame guy isn't the story either. He's saying, Jesus is the story. Jesus is the story. And this is what we do, guys, as a church, as followers of Jesus. We point to Jesus. We point to him. This wasn't our power. This wasn't our good works that did this. It was Jesus. Yeah, the one you crucified. It's in his name. It's like he's rubbing it in because he says it again. He says, it was faith in his name which has done this. This name, Jesus, makes people whole. This name, Jesus, makes people whole, makes them able to stand on their own two feet, literally. It's him. This word perfect health that we just read in that passage means perfect wholeness. All of it. Perfect wholeness. That's what the message of the gospel offers. Perfect wholeness. Spirit, soul, mind, body. All of it. The entire being that we are is whole. The ability to be made whole in the name of Jesus Christ. Following Jesus is an invitation to wholeness. It's not an invitation to religion. It's not an invitation to this aspect of my life or this part. It's not compartmentalized. It's a whole thing. The wholeness of health in him. This is what is on display here. Power to be witnesses. You see this connection? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. How many say Peter and John are being quite the witness of Jesus right now? I just suggest to you too that it wasn't for just a powerful moment in the upper room. How many would have loved to have been in the upper room? I would have. I love it. We actually get to be in the upper room every day if we want. Think about it. We get to be in that place. That is what has been given. We get to access more and more and more and more. But it wasn't just for a powerful moment, just to have a powerful moment. This power is to release something. Do you hear me on this? This power is to release something. I want you to say this with me. I've got power to release something. Can you say it with me again? I've got power to release something. I've been given power to release something. Yeah. Power to make wrong things right. This crowd is gathered because of the power that's been demonstrated, and now the gospel gets to get proclaimed. Church, the kingdom of God does not consist in talk. It consists in power. So 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, and I say that verse a lot because my heart aches to have less talk and more power in my life. I'm not even putting this on you. I'm saying for me, I talk a lot. I'm talking a lot right now. We talk a lot. I long for more power. I long for a demonstration. I want to be a church that longs for the demonstration of the power of God. That yes, we use words, but more than that, there is power on our words. How many want to be a part of that? How many even just say, I want that in my own life? Hungry for this. Verse 17 says, he's saying to him, and now brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Verse 19. So this is what he says. He says, repent. Everybody say repent. Repent, therefore. Turn back that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. I know there's so much in that. I want to unpack it a bit, but I want to just tell you this. This is what I want to back up to, that in the same way that this healing of the lame man is miraculous, I want to tell you again today that the boldness of Peter is equally as miraculous. It's equally as miraculous. We touched on this because he did this in chapter 2 as well. He got up. Remember, this was days, weeks before Peter had failed the Lord. He had messed up. Have you ever messed up?
Peter had like denied even knowing Jesus three times in a row. He'd gone to the lowest of lows. He just messed up big time. And now here he is again. He's as bold as a lion and he's proclaiming the gospel. And he's about to get into a lot of trouble for it. This is the transforming power of the Spirit of God at work. I want to suggest this to you. A coward, a total mess, can be transformed into a courageous, anointed, radical preacher of the gospel. That's what can happen by the Spirit of God in a moment. The church I see, the church that I see us and want us to be, and I believe that the Father wants us to be, is a church that doesn't hold people to what they were, but we call them to who they really are. We do not hold them to what they were. I do not hold you to what you were 2 months ago. I can see you fresh and say, this is who you are. Step into it now. I sound angry, but I'm just passionate. For real, we hold people at what they were so often, and it stops the flow of resurrection power in their life. We must not do this, church. We must not do this. We must allow people that mess up to become who they were really made to become. There's this ultimate promise that we just read in verse 21 that Peter spoke to. That there's going to be this final restoration of all things. And that's like a six-month topic on its own. There's going to be this final restoration of all things. And that's not new to these Jewish people, this idea. Because that had been firmly rooted in the prophets. But what has changed now in this moment is that the final restoration of all things has already happened to Jesus himself. It's already happened to Jesus himself. And one of the premier New Testament theologians of our day, N.T. Wright, I read a lot of him. It doesn't mean I agree with everything he says, okay? Do you know people that you really like and love a lot of what they say, but you don't agree with everything they say? How about we be people that can like take good things and leave other things? So don't go research and be like, oh, he believes this. Don't do that, okay? Just like, let's take the good, okay? I'm just really loving what he has to say. He says this about this subject. He says, what God is going to do to the whole of creation, he has done for Jesus in raising him from the dead. That is why Jesus now remains in heaven. In other words, in God's sphere. Heaven is the place where God's purposes for the future are stored up like pieces of a stage set waiting in the wings until they're needed for the great final act of the play. When Jesus finally reappears, heaven and earth will come together as one, and that will be the great renewal of all things. And he goes on. Listen to this. So when the good news of Jesus is announced, like we're reading in the story, it is, of course, about the Creator setting everything right. But part of the point of saying that this final restoration can come forward into the present is that God longs to see it happen to individual men, women, and children right now. Right now. Right now, in anticipation of what's to come. In anticipation of what's to come. This is the good news, church. We don't have to wait. Can you smile at me? This is good news. We don't have to wait. This final restoration is coming forward into the present through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It is his prayer on earth as it is in heaven now. Your kingdom come, your will be done now. On earth as it is in heaven. I've been repeating this intentionally over and over. I might for the rest of the whole year. That we are not trying to escape earth. We are not just waiting to desperately or fearfully, you know, somehow get out of here because things are getting so bad. I want to say a giant no to that hopeless theology. Because I believe that the mission of the church is that we are here to bring earth, heaven to earth. Heaven to earth, the resurrection power of Jesus is the foundation of the new world. God's new creation has begun. And we are a part of bringing it here now
through resurrection power. It is our mission. It is our commission. If we believe that this whole thing is going down the tubes, then that would be that we, I heard somebody say this, that we'd be like the workers on the Titanic just stacking chairs. There's no mission in that. Jesus gave us a mission. Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. All the things that he said, we could go on and on. He said, do the stuff I did. Bring the kingdom. Bring the kingdom. Bring the kingdom. Yes, I cannot wait for eternity with Jesus. I cannot wait. How many are looking forward to that? To heaven, eternity. But we must not miss our assignment now. And it's possible that we would. Church, the church I see is full of power. The church that I see is full of hope. We are not hopeless people. We do not engage in the spirit of the world. We do not engage in the spirit of the news cycles. We do not engage in what the political climate is. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We get involved in all of that, but we're not moved by that. We're moved by him. We're moved by what he's saying, and he is the most hope-filled being person that ever was. So if the world is getting darker, then we just get brighter. If the world is getting more fearful and hateful and critical and negative, then we just turn the love up. Some of you are probably thinking, oh, he's really simplifying this way too much. I don't think I am. We can talk about it, though, in my office later. Like, in a good way. Like, that sounded really mean. I'll see you in my office. That's not what I meant. I meant, like, let's sit down and talk about this. We need to talk about things, right? Go talk about this message. Go talk about it, right? Let's talk. Let's, like, work through it. We're in this together. I think so often, especially in our time, like if somebody says something we don't agree, oh, well, we're going to go to the next church. That's ridiculous. Don't leave because you disagree with something I've said today. Let's conversation it. Let's like grow. Let's say, hey, maybe somebody, you know, have you changed your views on certain things over 10 years? I hope you have. I hope we're all growing and becoming and getting a greater revelation of who Jesus Christ is. But I want to tell you today, I don't think this is oversimplifying it. The church of Jesus Christ is called to bring heaven to earth. We are the answer to that prayer through the power of Jesus, and we point everything to him. This isn't about our own doing. This isn't about our own power. This is about us pointing to him. Pointing to him. The church I see is full of power, and it's full of hope, and it's full of every single person. Tyler, come on. Doing the stuff that Jesus said that we would do and could do. The church I see is full of healings. I believe dramatic ones like what we just read in this story. The church that I see walking in power is full of miracles. It is full of testimonies of chains being broken. It's full of stories of strongholds being lifted, of hope being restored, of marriages being healed, of families thriving, of baptismal tanks jam-packed. This, I believe, is the power of God being demonstrated through the church of Jesus Christ. How many want to be a part of that church? I know you do. There's such a hunger right now. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to invite our ministry team to come forward. There is such a hunger right now in this church. And I believe that it has nothing to do with the transition that's taken place. I believe it has to do with the time that we are in and the plan of God and the heart of the Father for our city and the heart of the Father for our region. That God's desire is to pour out. God's desire is for now. And good talk is not going to do it. It's going to have to be power. It's going to have to be power. It's going to have to be power. How many just lift your hand and say, I want to walk in that kind of power? Just close your eyes. Just lift your hands right now. Just all over this place. I want to invite everybody in the family center to join us as well. Just lift your hands. Just lift your hands. Let's turn that guitar up a little bit, Stephen. Yeah, let's just lift our voices right now. Come on, just lift your voices, church. Lift your voices. Just say, God, I pray. I want to be used in power. I think that's the start right now. God, I want to be used in power. I want your power to fill me fresh. Come on, just anoint your church fresh. A fresh anointing to walk in signs and wonders. A fresh anointing to walk in power. A fresh anointing to walk in boldness. A fresh anointing to walk in authority. If you pray in the Spirit, just begin to pray in the Spirit. Maybe you don't pray, just say Jesus. Just call out on His name. Come on. Would you just fill your church with power, boldness? I just pray, God, even right now, we sang it before, your fire has fallen, your presence has come, but God, we're asking for fresh fire, and we're asking for fresh power, and we're asking for fresh anointing over the church.